I mean, that's the only person that wasn't shy. All the rest of us were like, really?
Yeah. It was a matter of time, in my opinion.
A matter of time. I think it was the clock's been ticking on this thing for 3 months. I think, you know, before we get to the bowl games, when he hired Chris Doyle, that's when I knew he wasn't going to make the year.
Absolutely correct.
I mean, when he hired Chris Doyle, I was like, who do you think you are? You can't do that. Oh, well.
Let's do a couple of pieces of math on that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get a job in the NFL, a place I haven't been. I'm going to bring in a strength coach that I got no business hiring. And then I'm going to go get a former tight end who hasn't played in the – or a former quarterback who hasn't played in the NFL in over 5 years and turn him into a tight end.
It's – I mean, I don't mind if somebody wants to – like an old player like that because – you got training camp. You can cut him. I mean, that part doesn't bother me. Never did. The Doyle thing bothered me because the accusations were the accusations. And
that's
so,
right.
And like, I mean, as loyal as Kirk Ferentz is, even he got rid of him.
Right. I actually saw Kirk Ferentz in Las Vegas last week, and I said to him, I said, Coach, I mean this respectfully, and I reminded him about when we played them. And some of those games, I said, but Coach, I say this respectfully. Are you still on your get off my lawn, stop messing with my program tour this year? And he gave it a good laugh. He didn't really answer it, but that told me, yep, that's what I'm on.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the one victory Iowa really had this year that nobody's talked about. I don't understand why nobody talks about this stuff. We seem to talk about everything else. But they were supposed to do depositions during the bye week.
Right.
Right? And it got moved to January after the bowl game. And, you know, now, I did mention it on the show the week it happened, but I feel like I'm the only one out there that mentioned it. It's like, I mean, they've got big problems there.
They do. They do. And it's going to get very interesting. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Coach Ferentz had a strong statement or if – I mean, look, I'm not reporting any news here, but oftentimes when you see these type of situations with coaches that have been somewhere so long, all of a sudden they retire.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to take that out of the equation because it could quite possibly happen.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it's something that is bears watching, but they were able to get the depositions moved from the bye week, which I think was supposed to be in October, and they got it moved to January. So at least it was a victory for them where they could just, like, finish their season and then go to that. All right.
Right.
Signing day yesterday, a lot was made of the Hunter kid going to Jackson State. Look, you and I mean, I always love these people. They got the number two recruit or the number one recruit in the country. Really? Who knows? He ended up at Jackson State. Okay. For Deion Sanders, though, what kind of at least coup was it to get a player to go to an HBCU as opposed to going to a Florida State?
Well, I think it's a step, right? And I've said this, is that obviously if that kid who, again, depending on the service you look at, either the number one or number two recruit in the country, if he goes on to end up like Robert Kimdichie, then this is nothing more than a blip on the radar, if that.
Exactly.
If this kid ends up being the number one or top five pick in the NFL draft because he's had three good seasons, I should say, at Jackson State and put up some numbers and NFL scouts feel like he developed into that type of player, I think it signifies two things. I think it signifies, number one, that players will be able to understand and recognize if you can play it, doesn't matter where you are, they will find you. And I think number two, players will look more at the way they commit to schools in this regard. We know that oftentimes they commit to coaches, position coaches, whoever recruits them, those types of things. But I think it'll come more down to who are the better player developers. If this kid goes on to become a high-level defensive back because he's learning from Deion every day, then this whole thing is able to shift. because Deion can prove to players moving forward, I can develop this kind of a player at the position, obviously, he knows best, probably the definitely the best defensive back, at least corner, in my opinion, that's ever laced them up.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And so at that point, that's what Deion is able to sell from that standpoint. So I think if you look at it that way, it's going to come down to what this kid's college career looks like. If it looks like and he becomes a top five pick, this is a huge moment in college football in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, this is going to be one that we will not really know what it means until 3 years, 3 years from now. 3 years from now, if he's in the draft and he's a top 10, top 15 pick, it's going to be, ooh. If it turns out that he's not, then it's going to be like, eh.
Right. And I will say this about the kid. I've seen a little bit of tape on him. He looks pretty good. Obviously, playing against high school competition. To the kids out there listening at home, don't throw the hats. Just don't do it.
Yeah. You know what? I hate when that happens. Like, there's certain ways to do things. And, you know, you and I understand that. There's certain, because it's interesting. The other day, Jordan Hill was the guest speaker at the football banquet. So when Jordan was done, I told a story that Michael Robinson had told me. And you'll be, of all the people out there I can tell the story to, you're going to relate to this in five seconds. Pete Carroll called a meeting the year they won the Super Bowl. Pete Carroll called a meeting for 4 p.m. So, of course, Michael Robinson, Penn State quarterback, showed up at the meeting at 3:45. There was one other person already in the room waiting. Jordan Hill, the other Penn State player, was already there at 3:45. Nobody else showed up until 4. So don't throw hats and listen to what the coaches tell you and live it.
That's exactly right. You got to live it. And I'm that way now.
Well, but that's the way you always were. Okay?
Yep.
You always were in class 15 minutes ahead of time. You know, unless, you know, your schedule allowed you to do that. I mean, I always understood if you had to go back to back. Right? But you've always been early for everything. We all have.
Yep.
Because that's what we were told.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So don't throw hats.
Don't throw hats, man.
Now, let's be honest. You weren't allowed to wear a hat in the building either back then.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. And don't let that phone ring in a meeting either.
Yeah. Oh, don't even have the phone at a meeting.
That's right.
The next part is, I want to ask you about Clemson for a moment.
Yep.
I find it interesting that people are like, oh, now look at all the coaches are leaving. Brent Venables leaves to be the head coach at Oklahoma. Elliott leaves to be the head coach at Virginia. Are they supposed to stay forever, Reginald?
No, it's real simple. And this is a conversation, and I'll say it here, right? I've had people reach out to me, Penn State fans and or alums, right, that have asked me and questioned me about James Franklin's job. And my response is simply this. If people are hiring coaches from your staff to become head coaches and you're winning 9-plus games a year, you're doing a whole lot of things right.
Yeah, exactly.
And those are good coaches. So to me, and Dabo will never, most coaches will never say it like this, but to me, the conversation is simple. If someone said, hey, Dabo, you just lost both of your coordinators, my response is, yeah, because they're good coaches. That's why we've been winning, because they're here. And now it's my job to find the next two that can continue the winning ways of this program.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, absolutely right. I mean, absolutely right. I have to ask you, now, part of this, let's stick with Clemson for a moment. DJ Uiagalelei, I think I got close, had a deal with Dr. Pepper.
Yep.
Now, I think I only saw one DJ Dr. Pepper commercial all season. I haven't seen it in 2 months. You and I both know that in this business, you better produce. You don't produce, they go to somebody else that they think will produce. How long do you think it's going to take on name, image, and likeness for some of this stuff to calm down, because these, you know, advertisers are looking for return, and you and I know that.
Yep.
How long?
I think it's, I'd say one recruiting class, a cycle.
Okay.
And they'll figure it out. And I think it'll start to be tied to, if nothing else, the amount of snaps, or it may look a lot like those sort of, what do you call, incentive-laden contracts at the professional level. I think that's what you're going to start to see down the line.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. Because you and I both know, you in this business, you know, advertising is critical, but, the, you know, if you're on there, they better be getting results. If they don't get results from you, they try and get results from somebody else. And that's what I think some of the college players are getting it and mean, hey, windfall. And all of a sudden, like, there are no results. They're going to look around and say, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right. Right. And the driver of this, right, is the recruiting circuit. The driver of this is that these kids go to college campuses, and I'm not knocking them for it. It's the way of the world now. Yeah. But they arrive on college campuses with 150,000 Twitter followers. Right. I know when I got to Penn State, forget a Twitter follower, I barely knew what Facebook was. All we had was AOL Instant Messenger.
Right, that's true. That is what. That's exactly right. But that they have 150,000. And look at the Ewers kid. The Ewers kid played the system. He wasn't allowed to go to a school in Texas because of their name, image, and likeness law. So he went to Ohio State. He got seven figures, and the first opportunity he had to transfer back to Texas where he could start earning money, he took it.
And the funny thing about that, and I think this will tie into Penn State a little bit, with that was, remember that quarterback room at Ohio State when he got there?
Yeah.
Right? You got C.J. Stroud there, you got another five-star kid, and then here comes Ewers, who's the fourth guy, because the third guy, who I think was a sophomore, he ended up getting in a little bit of hot water this year.
Yep.
But you walk into that room and you're like, you got four highly touted quarterbacks, and let's call it what it is. No one's playing two quarterbacks in college football.
No.
So if you've got four for one spot, you got a problem.
Right. Well, as I said when he went there, I said he'll never see the field.
Nope.
I was blunt about it. I said he'll never see the field there. Never. Everything. Oh, no, he might play right away. Look, I'm going, he's fourth team. He's on the scout team. He knows more about Michigan's offense than he does Ohio State's offense. He was on scout team.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely. Well, I liken that to, I've said this too, right? I go back to the Rob Bolden days at Penn State.
I said
to somebody, I didn't feel bad about it when I said it. I said, Rob Bolden comes in August or July and wins the starting job. He's either the second coming at the quarterback position, or the guys that are already there are just not able to pick it up.
And the bottom line is, you and I both know that was supposed to be Pat Devlin.
Absolutely correct.
Right. That was supposed. The whole plan was it was supposed to be Pat Devlin, and Pat then transferred to Delaware before the Rose Bowl in 2008.
And that is my concern with that quarterback room right now.
So, you know, well, and we're right now with this quarterback room. I think. Let's just see how it plays out, because I think that Clifford staying is exactly what the two, or in this case, the three, because Roberson's transferring.
Correct.
Having that experience hand there that knows how to watch tape, knows the pros and the cons of what's going on out there is going to be a great benefit to the kids, just like it was to Bryce Young to sit there with Mac Jones.
I agree. I think my question is whether it's with Christian or Bo or Drew, obviously everybody will be fine this year, this 2022.
Yep.
What happens after that year? Because depending on who wins that job, somebody may be exiting states left. And I'm not trying to predict or cast aspersions on these kids, but let's call the math what it is. They didn't come to Penn State to sit.
Yeah. Well, this is what makes it exciting. We'll get a chance to watch it play out. So, my friend, happy holidays. Hopefully we'll talk again before the holiday actually does come up.
Absolutely. Let's definitely do that. We'll talk Bowles and we'll talk Manny Diaz.
We'll talk about that. That'll be fun. Thanks so much.
Be well. Happy holidays.